Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tram. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tram. Today we learn the halachas of the laws of bodily damages. This is Siman Pekuf Pei Dalet 184 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're going to look at seven basic concepts today. That is striking and physical harm. Number two is striking in discipline. Number three, harm and negligence or noise. Number four, atonement and forgiveness. Number five, obligation to save others. Six, dangerous behavior and counterfeiting. And number seven is fines and local authority. Let's jump straight in. So our first concept is striking and physical harm. Is it allowed to strike another Jew? The answer is no. Striking another Jew violates the Torah prohibition of Pen Yosef Laakos. So the Torah talks about this in the context of Makos, where a person is receiving lashes in the court of law, and the Torah says, be very careful not to give an extra one. And so we learn from this that as the Joshua explains, that there's a concern about striking anybody who does not deserve it, deserve an extra malchus. If this is for a person who deserves malchus, then certainly for a person who does not deserve it. What if I just raise my hand threateningly and I don't do anything? That such a person is called a rasha. By Moshe Rabbeinu, we see in by the parasha of Shmos, where he turns to the two people fighting and he says, "Rasha, lama takera echa? Why are you hitting your friend?" And this is even before the act was done. What are the consequences for one who strikes another person? So this person, if one Jew hits another Jew, that person is in excommunication, in cherem, and may not rejoin the community or a minyan even until he comes to Beis Din and accepts upon himself their authority. May one strike another someone else to defend oneself? If that's the only way to do it, the answer is yes. To prevent harm for oneself, it is permitted to strike the aggressor. We move to our second concept, striking and discipline. May one strike a disobedient servant or helper? The answer is no. Even if the servant disobeys, it is forbidden to strike him. Take control of yourself. What about children or orphans under that you're bringing up? The answer is, technically speaking, for educational purposes, then the corporal punishment is allowed because it's considered for their benefit as well. Today, generally speaking, this is diminished. The corporal punishment is not in vogue in general. It has been proven academically that there was more obedience in yesteryear, but that obedience, but not necessarily buy-in. There's many costs to corporal punishment as well, and today the systems of education seem to be advanced in certain ways. This does not mean to say a permissive environment, but I mean there needs to be boundaries and needs to be consequences, but those consequences don't necessarily mean corporal punishment today. Our third concept is harm through negligence or noise. Is it allowed to throw broken glass or other harmful items when someone might be injured? So like, let's say dropping just like, you know, a Snapple bottle that used to be made of glass in the public and say, who cares? The answer is no. One should be careful not to cause harm through negligence or through leaving something which is harmful to others there. If your neighbor has a headache, may you pound food or make a loud noise? The answer is no. Even if it's in your own home, you may not make noise which will hurt them because it'll give them a migraine, a headache, and worsen their condition. There are so many details. What is the general principle regarding these? So our general rule is anything which can cause harm to others, whether in public or private, is forbidden unless it's universally accepted in consensus to do such a thing as well. So if everybody in that town spits, okay. But anything which is not universally accepted is considered harmful. Is it allowed to frighten somebody? So someone comes up behind them or at night, jumps out and screams. The answer is no. Such behavior is considered harmful, and one is held accountable for it in the heavenly court. Move to our fourth concept, atonement and forgiveness. If one injures another person and one pays the full restitution, is that sufficient? The answer is no. You can't just pay it up and walk away. You need to seek personal forgiveness from the injured party in order to get atonement. Are victims allowed to withhold the forgiveness? No. They should not be cruel and unforgiving once the restitution has been made and a sincere apology has been made. Now, our fifth concept, that is the obligation to save others. Let's say you see another person who is in distress. Are you obligated to save them? The answer is yes. One is obligated to act, even at personal inconvenience or expense, to save another person's life. Can you later demand reimbursement for the costs incurred in saving them? The answer is yes. If you can afford it, but if he cannot pay, you're still required to save him at your own expense. Whereas if you hear a plot against a fellow Jew, you're obligated to warn the victim or intervene, and even if that costs you financially to prevent the plot, and failure to do so will transgress lo yisamod al dam re'echa, standing by on the blood of your brothers. What is the weight of saving a Jewish life? It's considered like a person saves an olam mole, a full world as well. Let's move on to our next concept, dangerous behavior or counterfeiting. What's the halacha regarding a Jewish counterfeiter who endangers others? So he must be warned to stop. If he refuses, one may report him to the authorities and declare him solely responsible. If someone is falsely accused because of the counterfeiter, may you identify the true guilty party? The answer is yes, you may, and you can say, I'm not guilty, but so-and-so is the one who's involved. Why is this so serious? The answer is because, unfortunately, when you have a Jew who's doing something which is so illegal, right, and has implications, this is that when that person's caught, it could have implications on the entire Jewish community, and lives could really be lost because of this. So one has to do everything one can to weed out such people who will cause great loss to the Jewish community, God forbid. Finally, our last concept, there's fines and local authority. So may the elders of a Jewish city or town place fines or for harm or insult that are done locally? The answer is yes. What about due process? So they have to go based on the actions are based in. They cannot act independently or impose penalties beyond halachic boundaries as well. They have to be very careful to treat the townspeople's dignity very seriously as well. At the very end of the Kitzur does deal with the discussion of abortion and the fetus affecting the mother's health and the damages and so on. And it's a very complex topic which is increasingly complicated in today's day and age with the advance of medical technology. And therefore, a shala should be asked if this is necessary. With this, we conclude the topic. Have a wonderful and meaningful